Welcome to Future Commerce, the podcast about cutting edge and next generation commerce. I'm Brian.
And I'm Philip.
Today, we're going to do a short reactionary podcast.
The shortest reactionary election podcast that you'll listen to.
Yes, that's true.
Post-election podcast.
Post-election podcast.
We're going to keep this to a tight 25 is what we're going to do. All right. And that's to lessen the pain for all of us.
Yeah, we say that now, but that's, if it ends up at 45, I mean,
we debated this, right, Brian? We debated this a little bit.
We did debate
why we would ever even remotely want to touch the subject.
We did. Yeah. Yeah. And that's why we ended up wanting to do a short show, because really, yes, we shouldn't talk about this for very long.
And most people, there's a lot better commentary out there from a lot of different people.
Absolutely. I mean, I think right now a lot of people have no idea what to expect. And so, I think the commentary is actually at this point, almost anyone's commentary is valid. I don't mean that for real.
Probably true though. That's probably true. Actually, so hold on. Let's do our little nag at the top.
Okay, fine.
Hey, we want you to give us feedback about today's show, but you know what? I want you to suppress any of the any political bent of criticism if you could possibly do it, because we all have way too much of it right now in our social media streams. But we want your feedback, and so good or bad, give it to us, and you can leave that feedback in the discuss comment box on our site at futurecommerce.fm. You can also subscribe and listen to Future Commerce on iTunes and Google Play, or right from your Amazon Echo with the phrase Alexa, play Future Commerce podcast. And you need to subscribe because you don't want to miss our next episode. And I don't even know who it's going to be or what it's going to be about, but it's going to be awesome. I promise
Depends. Yeah.
Well, it depends on how they land. We don't know. The last one was probably awesome. The next one's going to be awesome. We're picking up a lot of steam and getting great feedback. Goodness. And very consistent audience listening. So I'm happy about that.
Absolutely.
But let's get into it. So here's I just want to get one thing out, which is this. I never in my life did I see us talking about what I'm dumbfounded. I can't even speak it. I never thought that we'd be talking about this episode. I never thought what a Trump presidency would look like, because I honestly never expected it. And so I really want to talk about, you know, what the economic and global and the global impact is going to be, and what, you know, what the fears or the unknowns will do to either spur or stifle innovation. So that's what I'm going to focus on. I want your reaction too, Brian, because we've not really talked about this stuff.
Yeah, this is the first time we've actually even talked about this, aside from short little notes back and forth. But yeah, I think you're right. I really want to talk about innovation and how this upcoming presidency will affect it. And really just business in general, merchants, like, how are merchants supposed to think about this? What are they going to do? And a lot of my reaction is going to be, well, this is a big unknown. So I think a lot of people are going to, they're going to hedge their bets. They're going to do a lot of risk mitigation. And so
don't you feel like we saw that to some degree? Like, we could make some guesses right now. For instance, if you were, I didn't watch any other channel. I just watched MSNBC because for whatever reason, I'm a glutton for punishment. So I'm watching, I should have watched CNN because I watch CNN for everything else. And I love Van Johnson. That guy's awesome. I just have this feeling like, maybe I got a different sort of a skew on the results, but they kept putting up this tag of the stock market. Basically, I'm sorry, I said Van Johnson. I meant Van Jones. And I just realized that I'm so stupid. But they kept putting up this thing about Dow futures crashing. Were they doing that on any other news channel?
They were. But the interesting thing was by the morning, everything was kind of back.
It
was
kind of opened up. And okay, this is Thursday. We're recording this right now on Thursday, November 10th. All time all-time high on the Dow Jones. Broke records this week. I'm hopefully I end the week up like 2.5%. Never saw that coming. This is interesting.
It is interesting. I think it's especially interesting given like the reaction on Twitter. I mean, I think and that's where a lot of innovators hang out, no doubt.
Sure. Yeah.
Granted, a lot of innovators live around San Francisco and in California. In Silicon Valley and et cetera, et cetera. which is, a very liberal minded place. So that it kind of makes sense.
But with the exception of Peter Thiel, there's one guy. One guy who's the
I guess Peter Thiel's just, he knows who to back, I guess.
Oh my gosh. That guy, if he's not the prognosticator of all prognosticators at this point.
Oh my gosh. I love how Silicon Valley sort of portrays his bizarro version of himself. I can't help but feel like while it's very satirical, there's a certain amount of truth that just it's there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, so the first thing that came to my mind, okay, the very first thing that came to my mind, I'm watching Donald J. Trump, President-elect Trump, give his, acceptance speech. And he's talking about bringing manufacturing jobs back. And I'm thinking to myself, the first thing that popped into my mind was self-driving cars are doomed. Like, they're doomed. Because there is no way in this economy that I feel like we're going to want to build in the next 4 years, that we're going to go toward more automation and less human interaction and jobs. And so it's already going to be difficult to pass, legislation. It's already going to be tough to put driverless cars on the road in general.
Yeah, that's a lot of state by state stuff though. And I would argue, that actually it actually could be a bit of a boon for car manufacturers. And what I mean by that is, maybe it's a little bit inadvertent, but right now the self-driving car technology is actually driving more jobs in Detroit and other places. I think if I recall correctly, and someone feel free to speak out here if I'm going down the wrong path, but I actually think that now, because of the technology around self-driving cars, America is becoming a leader in the auto manufacturing industry again.
Well, we definitely saw that in 2015, and a lot of analysts were pointing to pent-up demand. The economy's coming back. We finally like lowest jobless ratings in 8 years. And so, but 2016, if you look at the graph, 2016 is down from auto sales in 2015.
Is it down? Okay.
Of course the year's not done, but that's kind of year on year. That's what it's looking like.
Granted, we haven't hit real self-driving cars yet. I mean, I think.
Well, we did. So Auto just did. I don't know if you followed it at all. Auto just did its first Uber acquired a company called Auto, which just hauled Budweiser 120 miles across Colorado.
I did see that
it's the very first shipment by self-driving truck. Now just like in the pilot programs in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, all of the self-driving cars like sort of have a co-pilot there, to take the reins if something goes wrong. Auto also had a driver present in the vehicle. But this is, when you look at a state by state map of the number one held job in the United States of America, state by state, except for the coasts, the number one profession in the Midwest and in the center states and in the northern. So in the Carolinas, that whole middle of the country is truck drivers. So the notion that we're going to put, our nation's infrastructure or our nation's supply chain out of business with the complete automation is something that I think we were kind of on the path to do. Elon Musk has been kind of pontificating about, you know, what a living wage would look like, or what a universal wage would look like. But I don't think that, like, this in my mind is the number one thing that was called into question. I don't know that that's actually what will happen. It's the first thing I thought of.
Yeah. Huh. Interesting. It is a good question.
Now I'm going to refute myself a little bit. I'm complete. By the way, all of this is extemporaneous. I have nothing planned for this show at all. But the next thing that I thought about was, well, on the other side of that, part of, you know, Trump's plan for healthcare is to open up intrastate commerce and sell healthcare and sell insurance across state lines, which is something that's not happening right now.
Right.
So maybe intrastate commerce is much more promoted. And so maybe we will see greater innovation in those areas, but I just don't see, it's not like transportation is something that's hindered by intrastate commerce right now. Insurance is. So I don't know. I'm just kind of thinking out loud.
Yeah. And I think, you know, one of the things that we have yet to see is who he's actually going to appoint on his cabinet. Right. And I think that could also, like, sort of determine a lot of this. I don't know. I feel like there's still so much that's undetermined.
I'm going to actually, I'll ask know. You, I'm just going to prod some questions here, 'cause I've sure. been thinking about this. Four more states just legalized, recreational marijuana. Florida right. just passed legalized, a medicinal marijuana. So we can assume, following the natural progression, pretty yep. soon, you know, and in the future we would have it here too. This is a massive area of commerce. And potentially, you know, tax revenue for state and federal government, potentially impacted by his choice of an attorney general. I don't see someone like Rudy Giuliani. Again, I'm not a political commentator, and I'm parroting a lot of things I hear, you know, on, you know, in my news consumption, but I don't see someone who, like Giuliani, who is famed and known for the stop and frisk and the cleanup Times Square and the getting the gangs out of New York. And that guy, the law and order guy, I don't see him as the kind of guy who lets states run willy nilly with legalized marijuana without challenging it, you know, legally first. And so, putting some federal reins around it. Now, I'm not big in green commerce. I'm not, you know, yeah. I don't understand it, but maybe this is a thought you might have.
Yeah. In Washington, we were one of the first states to legalize, for recreational use even. And I think California now, and Massachusetts, I think, went medicinal. It's pretty crazy. Like, how quickly this is moving. I'm considering, I remember when it was such a kind of a fringe campaign, you know, 10 years ago or so.
Right. Yeah.
But in short, I think that Trump has actually already stated that he is pro medicinal use. Mm-hmm. And so I guess the attorney general pick might, you know, might make some moves, but I think that eventually, under a Trump presidency, I don't see why it wouldn't go medicinal throughout the whole nation. In which case, you know, recreational, like you mentioned, is only a step behind that. So, I don't see it being an issue. I think that actually will drive, more commerce and tax. And frankly, it would be kind of funny if in an ironic kind of way, if actually he did legalize it recreationally throughout the nation, if that alone helped the economy and sort of boosted numbers, tax revenue and so on, beyond.
Well, that right there could give the double digit GDP growth.
Yeah,
that he's,
exactly.
He's
yeah,
to get.
Exactly. Yeah. Right? Like, so, what if he went even further than that and started legalizing, went, you know, full on Gary Johnson, and started.
Well, that's, I mean, again, the people that, you know, the people that are looking very likely to be part of, you know, a cabinet are people who have vowed on the record to basically, you know, oppose and uphold federal laws against marijuana. So to take it beyond marijuana would really be, that would just, I can't even imagine. Plus, yeah, but, have but their think hands about full, this.
Trump follows you know? Each release he claims to follow money. And right. So, you know, if he starts recognizing the quote unquote value associated with doing this, there's no reason why I wouldn't see him flip flopping, because that's, you know, as soon as he sees something as a good idea, you know, he can flip flop in the moment even.
Yeah. So, I mean, and he can control his, you know, ideally we would hope that, you know, he could set some policy decisions and people would carry it out. My, mm-hmm. you know, from an attorney general point of view, I think, you know, a Trump presidency will be pretty distracted for the first year or two if they hold true on promises like, you know, trying to build a wall or, you know.
Yeah, I just don't see that happening.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if that's going to happen either. And by the way, this is not where, you know, I don't want to go too deep on those things, but I the thing either. I'm trying to say is that the amount of work and effort to do things like that or repeal and replace Obamacare, which again, by the way, has massive future and near term commerce
certainly
ramifications.
So does the wall. You know, so is the wall, full. No doubt. You know, sure. I think. And actually, I do want to just touch on this for a second because I kind of have to. I mean, I kind of look back at, and I know that a lot of people are going to disagree with me on this, but I look back on Guantanamo Bay and Obama's statements around that and then what actually happened. And I can't help but feel we've got a similar situation here.
It feels
the
same. Yeah. Well, almost it was, identical. You know, the day one, I mean, he did do it on day one. He did sign the executive order on day one.
Yeah. But nothing happened.
Right.
Yeah.
It's interesting the timing though, because, not a month ago, you know, SpaceX and their Hyperloop test track finally came up and running. And it makes me really think that, you know, as much work as we're all thinking about putting in, you know, putting America back to work, all this stuff, to do these types of things and create infrastructure projects of that nature, the infrastructure of 2016 or 2017 is not the infrastructure that we're going to have in 2031, 15 years from now, you know, if actually, honestly,
no, hold on. It's just funny because Washington just passed, I think it was the largest tax increase by any county in the history of America to build a $54 billion transit system out here. And the transit system, it suffice to say, there are certain phases to this plan that don't happen for like 40 years. It's pretty crazy. In a very selfish way, I'm kind of for it because I...
Sure. You should be.
Yeah, right. You know, because I have a commute. I take public transit to work and I love it. And I want it, but also looking ahead and the pace of innovation and, you know, if self-driving cars sort of get off the ground and, you know, we do more ride sharing and we, you know, there's actually probably going to be a much more cost-effective way to do transit than what we're looking at right now. But the thing is, we don't actually know what's going to happen. And so all we can do is plan for the, you know, for what we know. So I don't know.
Right.
It's interesting.
I, my very first professional job, I dropped out of Bible college and I was going to go to, I was in theological seminary. I was, you know, I had a whole different plan for my life, but my very first professional job when I was still, you know, teching overnights at a studio, trying to be a rock musician, a Christian rock musician. Don't think I'm that good of anything. I was Christian rock, so you know, it's kind of like, you know, whatever. But so but the idea that but my very first job was working for a downtown redevelopment nonprofit and in Tampa, Florida, and we were working back then, and we were 10 years in to working and helping lobby for a Florida high-speed rail system that was called the Florida high-speed rail corridor that was going to basically connect Tampa, Orlando, West Palm Beach, and Miami. And this was in 1998. That had been running since 88. And as of today, well, I'm sorry, as of January, it will finally have its first stop from Miami to West Palm Beach, which is a complete, like, it's so, this is, so, it's the shortest run of the whole thing.
Oh my
that it
gosh.
Could possibly, it's all of 80 miles and it's not even really going to go that fast. It's top speed is going to be somewhere about 125 miles per hour. But that's only in phase four. Miami to West Palm is 79 miles per hour. It's really not that fast.
Shoot. You're doing this better than we are.
Time. Yeah.
we're running light rail, which is running at like 35 miles an hour. Yeah. It's ridiculous. In fact, yeah. Like the light rail from sort of like halfway between Tacoma and Seattle, it takes like 45 or 50 minutes to get to sort of the downtown area.
Right.
And it's just, I don't know. This will get into something that either I've already touched on in the previous podcast or I'm going to touch on in the next podcast.
In the next one. Yeah. But so, you know, my gut feeling was, I think the thing that's most impacted is really, how the future of transportation in the United States is governed almost exclusively by it being service jobs and being, you know, us being in a services economy. And, you know, transportation is run by human beings. Everything from UPS trucks and, you know, so Amazon drones and automated Ubers, AI Ubers, and all those things, Hyperloop, those things in my mind have been backburnered for the next 4 years.
Yeah.
And that was the point that I was going to want to get out is the future of how we travel in the United States, I think is going to kind of sidestep for a while. We're going to keep working on it. Things are going to happen. We'll make incremental change and progress over the next 4 years, but we don't have anyone that's really going to champion that cause because I think we're going to be very focused on trying to get, you know, the middle income and middle America to, you know, actually have some growth in job growth. That's really, that'll be the focus.
That's possible.
Anything that threatens that is going to be, you know,
yeah,
in my opinion, is taking a backseat.
Potentially. It's interesting what Trump said in his acceptance speech. He talked about revitalizing urban communities and rebuilding infrastructure.
Right.
And I have no idea what to expect for real. But
sure. I don't think anybody does.
Yeah, but if he does, actually, let's just say he does follow up on this. Let's just toss that idea out there. What does that actually mean? Maybe it does actually mean focusing on some stuff. So,
yeah, potentially. Know. Yeah. And I know Pence had announced that he wanted to champion putting a human on Mars. And so that's, you know, comforting to some degree. Might send them to, a gay camp before to clean him up, make sure he's not gay before he goes to Mars, but it's fine.
Yeah, you know, if we make it to the moon, I will be happy with that. Make it back to the moon.
Right.
Like, forget Mars for a second. Let's just get back to the moon.
There's so much that could be said. I really want to, we're kind of running thin on time. I want to make sure you have the final word, but I really want to invite a few panelists on for us to have a bigger, you know, discussion about this, because I think that there are areas of expertise that some of the people that we've had on the show already, that they may see a bigger impact in things like retail. And you know, again, a lot of it could just be based on trepidation and not knowing what we don't know yet.
That's true. And a couple more points here.
Yeah, you take the final words.
No, I don't know about final, but we'll see if they're final or not. So first of all, I think we've had presidents in office that, you know, either side doesn't like before, you know, and I understand, you know, that Trump is definitely very unique, in a scary way, because, you know, we don't really know what it's going to be like.
Right.
I think, we've been through things before, and sure, businesses have soldiered on through very difficult times. So, in all reality, maybe we do have a little bit of slowing down. Maybe we don't. Maybe it accelerates. I don't really know. But what I do know is I do trust the business, you know, the businesses of America to keep on fighting for innovation and for jobs and for, you know, a higher quality of life. I know many small business owners. I know many CEOs, and I think, you know, what I've seen the response be is, you know what, this is what it is. We're just going to keep doing good business and treating our customers right. And
yeah,
and finding ways of solving problems. And, you know, cards may fall where they land. We're going to keep doing this. So we're going to do what we know how to do. And either that will be maybe it will be a really big boom cycle. Maybe we'll see more of what we've been seeing just in the past 8 years, and maybe it will be down. Maybe it will be down further, but I don't necessarily have faith, you know, in humanity completely, but I do have, you know, I do have faith that our business owners are going to fight for their businesses, and they're going to fight for their customers. So, we've seen it before, and I think we'll see it again. And I think also, you know, just another note, one more note, the one last thing I'll say is this, you know, let's say that things go well and normally, and Trump gets sworn in, and you know, it's
are
just
you expecting
sort of
something abnormal before he gets sworn in? Well, that's kind of an ominous thing to say.
No, I'm not saying there might be something abnormal. I'm in Seattle, and there were some huge protests here.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And I just can't help but think that, you know, in the future ahead, that there's going to be a lot of people that are going to try to oust him pretty quickly. And we know
that, you know, the conservative and Republicans were ready to start impeachment proceedings on day one for Hillary. So it's not like it's, you know, that we were going to face that no matter what.
I think we're going to face that no matter what. Yeah, I think that's a good point. And so, in short, we could really see some weird times in the next year. And so I don't know how much that's going to affect things, but I do think this is unprecedented, and I guess we'll just kind of wait and see what happens.
Oh, so I was going to let you have the last word, but I forgot the one thing that I wanted to mention, which I should have mentioned at the top, was a tweet that I found that I sent to you. Twitter.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. I think that people were utterly shocked because social media have given us very curated looks into our interests now. And in an election season, we're being shown more of what our points of view are and creating, you know, sort of these filter bubbles, which is, you know, I think going to wind up being the you know, Merriam-Webster dictionary word of 2016. We're creating these filter bubbles of, we're only seeing content that really appeals to us. And so you could have easily never seen an opposing point of view, for the last 18 months. And I think the real way that Facebook and Twitter are affecting politics in that is that right there.
Group
is
think.
That, right. And so, here it is. You know, Twitter is now in a very interesting position of having to defend that they can help drive purchase decisions, but not political decisions. Right. And it's a weird place to be, that you can say that you can influence a consumer behavior, but not electorate. And that's weird.
That is weird.
there it is.
Yeah. And they do influence consumer behavior.
They do.
There's no doubt.
They do influence consumer behavior. I think their advertisers would probably suggest that it's not as much as they would like to think. I mean, a good example of that, another filter bubble example, and we're going to have to cut it off here because we absolutely have to. But there was so much hate and ire for the new Apple MacBook. And the new MacBook Pro with the touch screen strip, you know, the scribble strip.
Yeah.
There was so much hate in my feed for that thing. And not a week later, Tim Cook announces it's the fastest selling MacBook Pro of all time.
I think that's just because they waited so long.
Well, I mean, it could be. It's what I call the tantric method to product management. It's like, is to just build up anticipation to the point of anyway. And on that note,
yeah, let's close the show out. One more note. I think we did make a kind of a statement a few episodes back that we wanted to get someone on to talk about the negative side and the dark side of innovation in commerce. And I think now is, you know, it might be a good time. There might be a lot of people out there that might be able to relate to that even more than before. So
I hope so. I think there are people. What I'm concerned about is the very near term of there's a lot of emotion right now, and yeah. I'm really hoping we can take a thoughtful and analytical approach to trying to think through how we as retailers and people who advise retailers how we approach technology in a different political climate.
Yeah,
that's,
I agree.
That's
and my very, you know, gut reaction to that is don't stop innovating. Please keep investing. Please keep pushing forward. Like this is our economy is very influenced by how much we innovate. And the truth is I don't expect people to stop innovating. We've been, even if it's a little bit in the shadows, you know, and underneath the, not necessarily out there in the open. I think that we innovated through the Great Recession. We can innovate through something else. So here we go. Let's do it.
Awesome. Well, thank you for listening. We appreciate you hanging through yet another, two white dudes pontificating about the election. I'm so sorry that you had to endure that.
Oh my gosh.
But we do want you to subscribe. We want you to hear all of the really good content that we have. So you can check us out on futurecommerce.fm. And as a reminder, you can subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, and you can listen on any Alexa device that you might have. But anyway, thank you for listening. And until next time, keep looking toward the future.
Bye.